fellow classic TV fans, Ronnie Schell is nothing short of an icon of classic television. His immortal role as Duke Slater alongside Jim Nabors and Frank Sutton on Gomer Pyle is simply legendary. But by no means did the series define him, as his diverse comedic talent led him to command both the stage and the big and small screens of the 1960s and on. His 50-year-long career doing stand-up in Las Vegas had Ronnie deservedly sharing the stage with some of the biggest show business names ever. To try and verbally name all of his film and television credits would be nearly impossible and would likely take up this entire podcast. But as you will hear, his reputation as one of the most down-to-earth and kind-hearted entertainers ever shines brightly throughout this interview. We also discuss his upcoming appearance in his and my San Francisco Bay Area. During Memorial Day weekend of 2023, it's Behind the Golden Curtain, a star-studded event being held at the historic Orenda Theater as part of a celebration of the sitcom mega-classic The Golden Girls. You'll find information on the event in this episode's description. So, in the meantime, enjoy my interview with a true Hollywood legend. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast the legendary, most incredible comedic actor I've ever known. I've been a fan of this man all my life. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Ronnie Schell.
Well, thank you, Pat. That's a wonderful introduction. I hope I can live up to the honor.
Well, you already did. And
all right. That's right.
I was looking at it, I'm going, this is going to be a simple introduction. And then as I started talking, I went, oh, he deserves much more than that.
Oh, no. I'm fine with that.
It kind of elaborated on itself. I don't know. The introduction took on a mind of its own, Ronnie.
That's okay. What you said is all true.
It is. There's no denying the truth, and that is the truth. Another truth that I found out about you that I did not know is that you, too, are a Bay Area native.
Born and raised. Until I went to fight for our country, the Air Force, I had never left the Bay Area. So I guess I was 18 before I left San Francisco and Richmond and Oakland and Albany and the area.
Well, and that's fantastic. I told you, I'm in Santa Cruz, so we're not far off the...
No, I know Santa Cruz. There used to be, I don't know if it's still there, there used to be a playland at the beach.
You are correct, sir, the boardwalk.
Is it still there?
Oh, yes. It'll be there forever.
Good.
Because it's a historical landmark.
Yes.
And, you know, I think for the last 20 years, it's been voted the best... Oceanside theme park in the world.
I did not know that, but I have a history of, I had a girlfriend who at the time went with some other girls down to Santa Cruz for a little vacation, and I went down and spent the week with them, and it was great.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I can't complain. I'll be honest. As far as picturesque goes, folks, we pretty much take the cake. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be knocking Richmond or anything. I had to ask you, though, who was in the oil business?
Who was in the oil? Oh, different spelling, believe it or not.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny, Schell. I thought Schell, and then I thought Richmond.
My dad, it originally was S-H-E-L-L, just like the oil company. My dad ran one of the first car washes in San Rafael, and he ran into some financial difficulty. He closed up the car wash and took a ferry boat over to San Francisco and put a C in front of the S, and from then on I was known as Ronnie Schell, S-C-H-E-L-L.
Well, the irony behind that also was just like, okay, Richmond, Schell. That's a refinery town.
Yes, it is.
He must be in the business.
I wish I was.
Yeah. To take the irony one step further, and yes, I can actually do that. My grandmother's maiden name is Schell.
Oh, kitty. How do you spell it?
The same way you do.
The new way or the old way?
You know, it's with the C. And of course, my sister would be pounding me over the head going, no, little brother, you don't have the history right. It's with just SH. So I'm going to kind of, I'm going to go 99, well, 95% that they spelt it your way, because I think I would have remembered it, you know, spelt like a seashell.
Yeah, right. Well, I actually answer to SH or SC. It doesn't matter.
Either way, we're distant relatives. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. Were you born in the Bay Area?
Yes, San Jose, actually.
San Jose. I used to work there, a nightclub. It is no longer there. I can't remember the name of it, but it was attached to a bowling alley. This is way back. And I had a great engagement there, San Jose, yeah.
Well, you know, the place changed a bit over the years. Somebody invented this thing called the silicon chip or something of that effect.
And uh-huh.
Suddenly we've got a Silicon Valley.
That's right. I wish it was like it was before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, before it was less expensive to live there than it was to live in Santa Cruz, because, of course, we were the beachside community.
And there were less people.
And that, too. But now that's completely flipped around, and it's twice as much to live there than it is on this fine beachfront community.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And I think they call it Silicon Valley for more than just the computer thing now, because there's, you know, a lot of those rich young executives are married. So
it's expanded.
I tell you, that was my one shot at just really crude, cheap humor. And I'm sitting here talking to Ronnie Schell going, as if, Pat. As if. What are you thinking? Oh, sir, your career speaks for itself, but
I've been very, very lucky, but I also worked my tail off to get in every area of comedy that I knew, and that's why I got a pretty good reputation.
Yeah. Boy, and the track record is, well, we'll go over a little bit of it, but I guess, you know, I'm sorry, Ronnie. I'm sure that like 99% of every interview you do goes straight to Gomer Pyle.
Well, that was my biggest, I think, title, as far as I was on there five years, and then 2 years on a CBS television comedy music show called The Jim Neighbors Hour.
Right.
So it was 7 years I worked with Jimbo.
Yeah, well, it was far be it from me to break from tradition, because Slater was one of my favorite characters on the show. And, you know, because you got the other two guys that are clearly the clowns. You got Frank and Jim.
They were good guys. They were good guys and much richer than I.
Well, I wouldn't say much richer in talent, but maybe in money. Then again, there was a lot of talent there, too.
There was. Really was. I missed them.
Yeah. Well, I was, again, you were just saying that you worked every angle to climb the ladder as a comedian. And
well, I was lucky. I did voiceovers, and I did a lot of those. And I did 6 Disney films, and I did some independent films. And I worked in Vegas for 55 years. I just retired from there 3 years ago.
Wow.
Because I don't gamble. And I'd get down there and have a month's engagement just sit in my hotel room.
Yeah, probably not quite as fun as the heyday.
No. No.
And you were there during the heyday.
I was there. I worked with some of the greats, probably mostly singers, but I had some good stories on all of them. And I'm looking forward to, I'm going to be up to, where am I going to be?
You are going to be, I'll tell you where you're going to be. You're going to be in Orinda.
Orinda, of course. A week from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the daytime. They're doing a whole tribute to Golden Girls.
Right.
And I was lucky enough to be a guest on one of their episodes. And so they asked me to come, and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to sign some autographs and be on some panels. And we're going to spend Saturday and Sunday all day there talking to people and hopefully Golden Girls fans.
Oh, yeah. Of which, again, there's many. And it's amazing how that show has kind of created a new life on itself.
It did, yeah.
But it was such high quality that, you know, in some ways it makes perfect sense. But I was surprised to see that you were only on a single episode of that. Is that right?
Well, what happened was, I was doing a lot of guest shots on sitcoms, and they asked me, would you like to do a guest shot on the Golden Girls? And I said, well, sure, I'd love to. I know Betty White. I didn't know the other two, but I knew Betty White quite well. And I said, sure, I'll do it. So they hired me, and it's sort of a funny story. I looked at the script the first day, and it had me at the end dating. No, I can't think of the name.
I know where this is going.
The star.
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur. And I said to myself and my agent, I said, come on. I'm much too young for her. They'll change the script during the week. Guess what? They didn't change the script for the week, and I ended up dating B. Arthur.
Well, God'll get you for that.
Yeah, that's true.
I couldn't help it.
Well, we had fun. She was a little intimidating, I will tell you that. First thing she ever said to me at rehearsal, she looked at me and said, you're not going to chew that gum during rehearsal, are you? And I immediately spit it out and said, no, never, never. And I didn't.
Yeah.
Also, they gave me lifts. If you watch the show, I'm much taller than B. But in real life, she was taller than me. And so they ended up giving me some shoe lifts to wear.
I was going to say, but B is tall. She's a tall lady, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, it was a fun thing. We're going to talk about it up in the theater. What theater are we going to be?
It is the historic Orinda Theater. Yes.
The Orinda Theater. Yeah. It's a beautiful theater. I've been up there just to, you know, see movies a long time ago, but that's a beautiful theater.
Well, you answered my next question, because I was going to say, now, you were a Bay Area guy, and I'm kind of wondering if you hadn't made your way over to that place, because, you know, it's been there. And it's, boy, I got to say, Derek Zemirak, who hooked us up for this interview, by the way, thanks, Derek. He'd done such a wonderful job.
Well, I probably covered in my life every major city in the Bay Area, either to perform or just to have some, hang around and have fun.
Yeah.
I'm definitely Bay Area native and definitely still have a love for the Bay Area, although all my relatives and friends from there, except one or two, are gone.
Well, San Francisco isn't what it used to be, I'm afraid.
You know, I heard that. They're getting bad publicity in L.A. where I live now, and it says it's San Francisco is not a good city anymore. It's full of homeless people and high crime, and is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's shocking. It's beyond explanation, because when you look at it, it is probably one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Everywhere you look in San Francisco is a picture.
Exactly.
Is a photo.
Except for that guy laying on the street with the trail of urine running down the sidewalk.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, this is the way I used to see it.
Yeah, well, again, it was picturesque, and the movies will tell you that. And that's the strange thing about it, is because you can't take that away. I mean, unless you blow it up or give us another good shaker, you know, it's pristine and gorgeous. And then you get to street level, and you're like, dear God, get me out of here alive.
Yeah.
Please.
Everything changes.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we're not going to get political here, Ronnie, I promise. But policies are a little shaky.
Well, I'm going to have some fun up in Orinda.
Absolutely. Across the bay, a little cleaner. It's a gorgeous area. That town is just...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of history. When I was a kid growing up in the East Bay, we used to go to Orinda. I can't think of the name of the nightclub. There was a famous nightclub in Orinda, and all the guys from Richmond and El Cerrito and Albany and Berkeley would, on the weekends, go to this club. I'm sure it's gone now. But So I spent a lot of time up there in Orinda.
No kidding. See, I don't really know much of the history of that town, unfortunately. So yes, Orinda was fun and still is and still gorgeous, and it's waiting for you. You know, we were talking about the Golden Girls and obviously these sitcoms that I... In my head, I was like, if Ronnie Schell and I were standing over a sea of classic sitcoms, if I just shot an arrow up in the air, I'm guessing it would come down and hit one he's been on.
Well, I put this phone in the wrong ear and I didn't hear what you said, but it sounded complimentary. So I'll say, that's right. That's right, Pat.
You better believe it. Don't make me repeat that. No.
I just want to make sure you play this before I get there, because I want a big crowd of Bay Areans to come out and see me and say hello and sign some autograph pictures and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Well, we're gonna get it out there and publicize as much as possible. Derek's a good friend, and I know this is going to be a great event because,
great.
You know, the steam for that show is hot. You know, it just is. So I think it'll be a pretty good turnout. But what I was saying was just, I'll need to rephrase it so I don't sound redundant. I'm going to rephrase that complimentary thing I said that you missed. Here it comes. And it was, if you shoot an arrow up over a sea of the classic sitcoms, chances are it's going to come down on one that Ronnie Schell has been on.
I think I did most of the ones. The one that I missed that I now watch every night in the reruns, and I could have done guest shots on it, and I didn't, and I'm so sorry because I never miss it, is MASH.
Oh.
I thought MASH. I'm watching MASH every night. Between MASH and Gunsmoke, that's what I watch TV in.
Yeah. Well, how can you go wrong?
No, you can't.
Unless, of course, it's the Golden Girls. Now.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the Golden Girls.
We had to do that.
Got to put that in there.
You know, every time I got past the opening theme song of the Golden Girls, I was in.
Right.
I was all in. I just love that show.
Well, what they do, I think, when you go up there, it'll be next week, I guess.
Oh, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. They'll probably show some episodes, hopefully mine, and I'll enjoy it again.
Yeah, and better yet, on a big screen. I mean, a theater screen.
That's right. That's right.
So even funner. Well, again, that's going to be a wonderful event. I'm going to make it up there.
You better.
I know that a lot of people are looking very much forward to it. If you could have picked one... Okay, I said you obviously picked the sitcom that went, oh, shoot, I wish I'd have been on that one. But is there anyone that you actually had done where you went, man, am I glad I did that? Besides, I know that's probably a really vague question, but is there one that just sticks near and dear to your heart?
Yeah. I think there's a couple. I did Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one where I played the mayor of the city. And I enjoyed that, and I did three guest shots on Happy Days, and I enjoyed that. And I did six Love American Styles. I don't think we have that anymore on the reruns, but I did a Love Boat, and that was fun. So I did most of the shows, and I can't think of any show that I did that I didn't enjoy. I really had a great time being a guest on these shows.
Right. I know that during the Gomer Pyle years, there was that shot that you took for your own sitcom where you played a disc jockey, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened there? It's unfortunate, but when I was in the second year of doing Gomer, two writers, Persky and Denoff, who created the Dick Van Dyke Show, and they did that on the same lot that we did Gomer, and... they liked my comedy, and so they wrote a character for the pilot to do. And so I said, Jim, I hope you don't mind, but I've got a chance to do this pilot, and I'll probably be big star as a result of it. So long, Jim. This is the second year. And then the year after that, I was on the Gomer Pyle show. But there's a story behind it. we were not very good in the ratings. We were opposite Tuesday night at the movies when NBC first run movies, you see. And so every night in America, people would say, well, who should we watch tonight, Ronnie Schell or Cary Grant? And I lost.
I can't imagine.
I think we did 38 episodes, but we had fun, and we made an amazing discovery. A girl by the name of Goldie Hawn, who played my girlfriend throughout the series.
Yeah, never heard of her.
No.
You know, and it's funny, she had her go-go dancing style back then, and I just saw a video of you and her go-go dancing.
Yes, I'm sure you did. You know, she was a go-go dancer out of Baltimore, and they hired her to do a guest shot as a dancer on an Andy Griffith special, and that's when the Kirstie Nedoff, these creative writers, saw her and said, "You got to fit her in," and so they put her in as my girlfriend.
Well, I thought, God, Ronnie, you're really holding your own. Keep going, buddy.
Well. Coincidentally, one of my six movies for Disney was called The Strongest Man in the World. And guess who the star of that was?
Oh, some guy named Russell? I don't know.
Goldie Hawn's husband.
Oh, yes. I call him Russell. But it's Kurt, of course.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. And when it was all over, you know, looking back, we really had good times together. And now I have a granddaughter who goes over to Goldie Hawn's grandson's house in the area, and she'll say that Roddy, he drove me crazy. That's what Goldie says now.
He's like, well, payback. Isn't that amazing though? You can make a reconnection based on your offspring.
Well, you know, you never let go. Show business, you're made friends to all the people, unless, you know, you have some bad karma. Or But I always made friends with all the people I worked with.
You know, I picked that up. And with all the interviews I've heard, no one has said one negative thing about Gerani. I'm sorry.
Well, God bless him.
Gilbert Gottfried tried, but I don't
think. Oh, I did two. I did two Gilbert Gottfried radio shows, and it just worked out great. He was a great little comedian, I thought. Didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I thought the show was great, too.
Yes.
I wasn't aware that he was ill, so it was kind of a shocker.
I wasn't either.
Isn't that something?
But he was a very funny comedian. Very funny.
And a true fan. And that's what makes you really feel like folks like me endeared to him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he had me back the second time right away because I caught his funny bone for some reason. And
you guys and your dirty jokes, I'm telling you.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, on the hat issue, you could tell any kind of joke, and you got away with a lot more. So I didn't do anything dirty, but I had some that were you couldn't do on TV, right?
Exactly. And if you want to drop any of those words, you can here, too. But I don't really give it opportunity.
Yeah, right.
Unless I screw up. Like, you asshole, try that again, Pat.
I'll put you off the air.
Oh, no. Again, those were a couple of my favorite of his episodes, because you guys obviously just, you know, went off on each other. And
we got along good. Someday I'll tell you, when I come up there next week, I will tell you the Alan Ladd story, true story, that drove Gilbert crazy with laughter.
Oh, yes.
I'm not going to tell it now, but when I see you up there at the Arena Theater next week, I will tell the Alan Ladd story, which I guarantee will make you laugh.
I'm sure it will. I'll come straight up and say, Ronnie, what was that Cheryl Ladd story you were going to tell me?
But I'll tell you.
You got the wrong lad.
I worked with her once. I did two episodes of Charlie's Angels. And then I did a spinoff that Jackie Smith did and by herself, and I did that show too. So I got my nose in the pie as much as I could.
And just so happened to be with all the most beautiful women that I've ever lived. Just
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thought I'd finish your sentence there for you, Ronnie.
Breathtaking. But I was very happily married at the time, and still happily married to a very beautiful lady. We're in our 54th year.
Oh, how wonderful.
Of marriage. And
wow.
I'm very happy.
Well,
not happy. I mean, you know, we fight. Everybody fights after you've been married for as long as we have. But still, I would give her up for anything.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm in my 26th year, and if we don't fight, then I know there's something wrong.
Yeah.
How come we haven't fought lately? I'm getting a little nervous.
That's true.
What lies underneath?
Hello?
Oh, well, gosh, this has just been such an honor to speak to you, sir. I've, like I said, been a fan forever, and I know many of the folks that I'm listening to feel the exact same way.
Well, thank you, Pat. I hope that you bring your recording paraphernalia up there. We'll do another one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more portable as life moves on, but it's Memorial Day weekend, folks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
I'm going to get up there at least for the day that you're there. I know it's a three-day event.
Yes, I'll be there from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Saturday and 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Sunday. So it'll be all daytime.
There you go. There it is. There's your Ronnie Shell window. Go say hi to Duke Slater himself.
Oh, that's right.
Well, it's so interesting. So many people identify you as that, and I am guilty.
Duke Slater, right.
You were so powerful at that because you were the straight man.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. Very few people know that I was hired to be the sane guy in the Marines. I mean, the sergeant was bigger than life, Gober was bigger than life, and I was hired to be sort of the person that would be watching at television saying, what, these guys are crazy. You know, if you see the show, you know, I was always correcting Jim and trying to evade the sergeant. So.
But the heart was there in a good place. You had the streetwise thing, but you always had that peripheral vision going on to protect Gomer. I always loved that.
Yeah.
But again, I was thinking, geez, you worked all those years in comedy only to become up straight man for your most well-known role. But I think that probably worked to your benefit because I just can only imagine how many times you were wishing, oh, I got such a good comeback for this and I can't use it.
I did whatever I could to make it good. I never did anything that I thought was below my standards. And whether it was comedy or a straight person, I played it to the hilt.
Yes, yes. Perfectly, I might add.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That sounds like a good note to end this on.
Okay. When I see you and all your fans up...
In Orinda, yes, at the theater.
For sure. Okay, Pat.
And everybody will have all the links to how to find that. And Ronnie, thank you again. I appreciate it. All your fans appreciate it. And I will leave some information, like I said, in the description on this event and get up there and meet him and hang out. And it'll be just wonderful.
I appreciate it. And maybe we'll do it again up in Orinda.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you again.
Hang in there.
I will. You too, bud. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it, another retro TV radio in the books. Keep up with all that Ronnie has going on by visiting his website at ronnieshell.com and check out the links for tickets to meet him in person over Memorial Day weekend in Orinda, California. It's titled Behind the Golden Curtain, and the event is jam-packed with many special guests involved with the classic series The Golden Girls. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave me a positive rating and review. You can also find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Golden Rage of TV and on Twitter at Golden Rage of TV1. This is your host, Pat McCormack, and thanks for listening to Retro TV Radio.